Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and as always, we're wishing you the best. And today, we are so pleased to have as our guest Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, medical doctor. He is a physician as well as a Sufi master who has helped patients to achieve dramatic healing results for conditions that Western medicine has deemed irreversible or even terminal. Working with Dr. Jaffe, patients are often able to reverse trends towards disease, especially on a spiritual level, before the disease has manifested in the physical body. He runs the University of Medical Spiritual Healing, that's UMSH, specializes in teaching a unified holistic approach to healing the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual elements of illness. Anyone can learn these methods, and all are welcome to incorporate the three components. He incorporates medical knowledge, subtle energetic medicine, and spiritual awareness. So thank you so much for having being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, Dr. Jaffe.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to join you and your audience, and I'm glad we were finally able to connect. So I'm very happy to be on your show today.
We had a little challenges, but that's okay. We're here now, and I would like you to go back in time and tell us why, in your younger years, you actually moved towards becoming a physician.
Oh, well, that's the first time anybody's asked that question to me. That's great. Actually, as a child, I used to have that subtle awareness where you would pick up illnesses, and particularly in animals. So I had a dog once that I noticed had this large, I thought, protrusion on its hip. It seemed like it was a big, you know, almost like the size of a lemon. And I went to my parents and I said, look at this thing. This animal's got this disease. And they felt it, and they said, there's nothing here. I said, no, feel it, it's here. And they said, they checked it, there was absolutely nothing. So they thought I was crazy. Well, 3-4 years later, the dog developed a bone tumor in that spot. It grew to the size of a lemon, and of course died from the disease. But at that point, I realized, and my parents realized as well, that somehow I had, you know, subtle perception that had somehow come in as a child around healing and diagnosis, and that was something that they were encouraging me to develop, and that's how it all began.
So then you went to medical school. There's no such thing as, you know, let's say spiritual medical school.
No, there were not at the time when I went to medical school, which was back in the late 70s and early 80s. And at that time, you know, holistic medicine was just breaking onto the scene. You know, people were coming out of the 70s and the 60s, and you know, there were things like encounter groups and bioenergetics and Reiki therapy, that type of thing. But holistic medicine was still brand new. So there wasn't anything like that, really. And the results of that, of course, were that I started seeking that understanding myself. Now, at that time, you know, traditional medicine was not open to anything, you know, not even vitamin therapy, anything, herbs, anything. It was all taboo and considered, you know, something that you didn't want to be part of. You know, today it's become mainstream, but it wasn't back then.
Okay, I don't see that as happening. I've been doing this since 1964, and of course, yeah, there were many, many doctors who were deeply involved with natural healing arts, even in the 1900s, called the eclectic physicians. And what you're talking about, I think, is conventional medicine, while traditional medicine is what you really use, spiritual herbs. These are traditional healing techniques, and you're correct that the conventional medical model certainly did not incorporate even giving those kinds of things any kind of access back then when you went to medical school. But I'm sorry to say, I would say for the most part that's true today.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, it is changing. I mean, for example, you know, we've been talking with Mount Sinai hospitals. They have you know, at least in Florida now, they have a complementary functional, you know, oncology unit there. So, you know, you are starting to see changes in, you know, some of the hospital systems. But I agree, it's still, you know, with traditional, of course, you use traditional, you say conventional, I say traditional, but in conventional medicine, you know, I think you're right. I think there's still a lot of veils that need to be torn down before people realize that, you know, there are ways to work together.
It's so true. And really, then the outcome is best for the patient, as you see time and time again with your patients.
Well, this is the thing that bothers me. I mean, as a physician or a healer, you know, our job, I remember when I graduated medical school, I took an oath, and my oath was to provide the best care I could to my patients. And if I'm providing, you know, what you call conventional medicine, and there are non-traditional, non-conventional ways that would work with them, and I'm not providing that, I really believe that I'm not serving my patient, and I'm actually, in some ways, potentially damaging them because I'm not giving them the best options for their care. So I think as physicians, we have to expand, you know, our little area and say, yes, you know, we have something very valuable. I think, you know, Western medicine is great. It has great functional abilities, but at the same time, there are many other traditions out there and many other types of medicine that need to be part of our current system of healing. And if we really serve people, we need to open up to those systems.
I think you're so correct, because when we look at evidence, when we talk about evidence-based medicine, I'm fully convinced, and it's been wonderful to be involved in this field for the last 50 years and see how much evidence that there is now, measurable, quantifiable evidence that actually shows that interventions such as what you're doing, bringing in an integrative approach, gets the best outcome.
That's right. That's 100% true. There are so many studies coming out now that indicate that, you know, a combined approach, a spiritual approach, bring better outcomes than just the regular Western approach to medicine. And again, if we, you know, are going to be serving our patients, then, you know, we have to open up to the possibilities. Now, I understand that there's a time period when there haven't been double-blind studies. You know, we don't 100% know everything. There's always that kind of twilight zone when things have not been proven yet. But, you know, if you're sitting there and you're struggling with cancer, the outcomes of the chemo that you're going to take are minimalized. Maybe you have a 20-30% chance of cure. It seems to me, in a case like that, if we don't give other things a try as well, how are we serving? You know, so I think there are cases where we have to really open up to the possibility that things exist before the double-blind studies prove it.
And sometimes there even are double-blind studies, and also there are often no double-blind studies for some of the things that are used regularly within the auspices of conventional medicine. So it seems to me that the entire system is very skewed towards a pharmaceutical and drug-based approach, rather than what you are doing, which is medical spiritual healing. What is medical spiritual healing?
Well, medical spiritual healing is the integration of spiritual healing into medicine, which is kind of what I specialize in. It's a long story, which I won't go into on air, but I have traveled the world and looked into many different alternative systems, from, you know, things such as Hindu healing in India and Buddhist healing in Japan, to, you know, psychic surgeons in the Philippines. So I've been around the world looking at different systems of healing. And what I personally ended up with was the following, that disease was rooted in essentially, let's say, places of where the consciousness of the individual was not at peace, that there were places inside themselves where they were, quote, uneasy or had dis-ease, that those places were hidden in the subconscious, they were stored in different areas of the body, and that over time, those storage places affected the functioning of the body, and the body would eventually end up with disease. So as I began watching, you know, some systems of healing, where you could go in and change things quickly, but you didn't change the core places where those issues were residing, what I found was that the disease returned or went someplace else and found another outlet, because if the issue was, let's say somebody had a broken heart, and you didn't heal that broken heart, you know, maybe you gave them, you know, some type of chelation therapy or whatever, you know, to help the system, maybe they would get better for a little bit. But what happened to that broken heart? It didn't never heal. So as over time, that process would reoccur. So following the idea that the greatest healing is to get to the source of the illness itself, it seemed to me that the place to go was into the very source, which was the place where we were carrying these places inside our own hearts, our own being, our souls, where we were in conflict, or we were not at ease, where we did not find peace. So that became my essential theory, which I spent years looking for. And of course, what has found from it, that search, is that if we can find those specific places, if we can resolve those places in certain ways, that, you know, interestingly enough, we see healing in a great majority of people. We see responses where before they might not have responded to Western medicine, now they do. And the great thing is sometimes we actually see miracles. So it's an incredible understanding, which is that by finding out what's inside of us and transforming it in a certain way, you know, using a very deep connection to goodness, that we actually can see tremendous change in the healing process. And that's what medical spiritual healing is about. How do we get there?
Yeah, it almost sounds like a misnomer bringing those two things together, medical healing and spiritual healing. They seem to be sort of opposite ends of the spectrum, but you are bringing them all together.
Well, you know, I was always saying, you know, in the day, you know, left brain and right brain, and everybody's always fighting about, you know, which is which and which is better. Of course, it's a left brain world, and, you know, the right brainers, the intuitive brainers are always fighting to get in there. But, you know, I think there's something else, which is that when the left brain and the right brain come together, intuition and science, that the people end up whole brain. And that whole brain is actually what I believe to be sort of the enlightened or the real wisdom in any process. So, you know, we have to bring science and medicine and spiritual healing and intuition into, you know, to bring them together for the real wisdom, which is how to use all of it in a whole way so that the patient has the best results.
Yes, that's what certainly we should be looking for. And I think it's very interesting what you said, Dr. Jaffe, about the fact that, let's say, we cut out a part of the body that isn't well, like with cancer. One thing I find interesting is women running around getting a BRCA gene test. And if it just shows that they have a genetic propensity, which all that gene really shows is that your body has difficulty breaking down toxins. So perhaps it's good to know so that you live a very toxic-free lifestyle, including spiritual toxicity. Change that. Because when they do remove their breasts as a prophylactic measure, very often you get cancer somewhere else.
Exactly.
It's funny, but it's sad.
Yep, it is sad and it is funny, and you're right. It's not in the wisdom. You know, the wisdom is that today they know that much of, you know, what is considered, you know, the DNA-based diseases are, you know, not exactly that it has a lot to do with changes, and that things are, you know, affecting various genes that can be turned on and off. So that if we, you know, just, you know, take off a breast and you don't affect the causes and it turns on some other gene someplace, yes, you're going to get disease elsewhere. And I think that is a very classical understanding that people need to understand. It's not, you cannot, if you don't heal the place, you know, inside of your own being where you're at dis-ease, where you're struggling with a broken heart, you're struggling with the pain of a divorce, you're struggling with some type of wounding that you carried as a child or as adult or wherever it may have occurred for you. I believe it affects the DNA. I believe it affects the cellular functioning of the body and eventually causes disease. By cutting something out, you don't get rid of those causative factors. They will find another place to show up. And so, yes, you can, you know, you can stave off disease for a while. You know, you could take out a gallbladder and the person will not have pain, or you can, you know, give them some type of, you know, you know, changes in their artery system open up the arteries so that they get more circulation. But if you're not dealing with that broken heart or their ability to receive love or ability to give love, then that heart is going to constrict again, and they will have recurrence of heart disease. And we know heart disease is one of the biggest killers and causes of death in the United States. So we have to learn to give and receive the love and heal our hearts if we're going to heal heart disease, not just change the circulation, which is valuable in the short term, but not valuable in the long term.
Right. So you're talking about really an integrative approach. Now, what led you to be a Sufi master? Maybe not every one of our listeners knows what Sufism is or what a Sufi master might be.
Well, Sufis are, you know, Sufi means purity, and it particularly means purification of the heart. And the concept in Sufism is if one purifies their heart of things like emotions, negative attributes such as, you know, greed or lack of compassion or lack of mercy, things like this, and they beautify their hearts with divine attributes such as you let go of lack of compassion. And you become compassionate, or you let go of the lack of love and you become love. These are called attributes. So when the heart becomes full of positive attributes, people move closer to the relationship with the divine, and that leads to ultimately enlightenment or unity or oneness, and that is considered to be, you know, the ultimate experience of the human being is that bursting into that state of consciousness. So Sufism is a path that leads to that. And for me personally, I was actually dying of heart disease back in my 30s. I started to have a great deal of trouble walking. I couldn't breathe anymore. I realized that I was moving into heart failure, and I believed I was dying. And at that time, I was healing and using, you know, energetic medicine, kind of based more on a Tibetan model. It did not heal my heart because it was really about consciousness, and this was really about love. And I started looking for people to teach me about love, and that's when somebody introduced me to, at that time, one of the great Sufi masters, who has since died, but I called him, I went to see him. He did heal the heart disease for me, and I realized that his system of healing, which was bringing this purification process and this connection to divinity into the healing process worked. And I said, okay, I think I have found what I initially thought was another form of healing that really worked, but in the end ended up becoming really what I believe to be the foundation of all healing. So I ended up studying with him for 20 years and eventually becoming a Sufi master healer through him.
Well, that's a lot of dedication. It certainly was a path that you found inspiring. Now, I know you actually have a center, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the way it works right now, we're actually a little bit in process of moving. A lot of our work can be done through talking with people, so a lot of the work happens over the phone. You know, we've trained many people. We have, you know, maybe 30 master healers who are, you know, I think people who can work with cancer and, you know, that level of sort of life-threatening disease. And then we have thousands of other people that we've trained that can work with, you know, many forms of disease. And what we do is, you know, people call us. The most important thing, of course, is self-healing. I think people need to be able to reach inside of themselves and find the illness within themselves. It's kind of like give a man a fish, you know, he eats for a day, but teach him to fish, he never goes hungry. And I'm of that belief system that we have to teach people to fish. And that's what I try to do, is help people to initially find out and learn, you know, what's inside of you, you know, what's inside of your being. So if you call us, we give you a self-healing process, but then we help you to learn, you know, we have healers that help you to find what the causes of disease are inside of you. Once we find them, you know, here's a, for example, we had a woman that had a stage 3 breast cancer. She called, and she was a teacher, a spiritual teacher, actually. When we started talking with her, her statement was, I have breast cancer because my students have betrayed me. and they did this to me, and out of that, they've hurt me so badly that I have breast cancer. That was what she was saying to me. And we got to talking about it, and what we actually found was very different, that what was really going on was that in her inability to hold, contain, and love her students, that the students felt betrayed by her, and they were attacking her out of her inability to love. Once she understood that, and she began changing the place in herself, which is her inability to love, it was amazing. Within, I would say, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, the breast cancer disappeared, and she was healed. So what we found is that when people get to these root issues and they're learned how to transform them, this is where we see the healing happening, and that's the goal. What are those issues? How do we find them? How do we heal them? And how do we stay protected while we're doing it? In other words, you have hypertension, and you have a very high level of hypertension, and your blood pressure, you know, could lead to a stroke. We want to work on healing you, but we're not going to take you off your medicine, and you shouldn't go off your medicine, you know, because if you do, you may have a stroke. You work on the healing, and you watch. Your blood pressure will drop down. You'll start decreasing the amount of medicine that you have, and over a period of time, you may be able to go off the medicine completely. That's a much safer approach to healing than just going cold turkey and risking having a stroke in the healing process.
Right, and it can be done along with the person's physician, because certainly you can insist as a patient, let's say you are working with Dr. Jaffe on a spiritual level, and you see that things start changing. Well, something like blood pressure that you mentioned, that's something that you can measure easily. And then the physician should be your partner and want to slowly and appropriately decrease the dose.
Exactly. That's exactly right what you're saying, that is the balanced approach, and that's bringing Western medicine, spiritual healing, alternative medicine together. You know, I have no problem with people taking herbs, you know, that, you know, for hypertension. You know, we know garlic, we know things like that help it. But at the same time, you know, sometimes the garlic and things have interactions. You know, they may affect blood clotting, they may affect other things. So it's important to know what you're taking. And you have to know the interactions with the Western medicines. At the same time, it's very important to get to those roots. You know, for example, many cases of blood pressure are about what we call the tearing of the heart. In other words, people have very strong conflicts inside themselves. And one place they want to go right, they want to maybe divorce. The other way they would go left. They don't want to divorce, they want to stay together. And these two parts are so powerful inside of them that it rips something in their heart. When that rip happens, their blood pressure will go out of control. If they want to heal that blood pressure, they have to heal that rip in their heart. And that means they have to become conscious of the conflict and be able to heal that conflict within them.
Yeah, so first, of course, like you said, you have to become conscious of it. And that's where medical spiritual healing can come in. Because I guess it's about having a conversation. Because you said that you're actually able to do this, you know, by having a phone appointment.
Yeah, that's right. It's, you know, we have to have that conversation together and then, you know, start looking for what is really the source. And the way I do it is what I have found is that there are ways of identifying what we call specific patterns. And once we find the pattern connected to an illness, we're able to enter inside of that pattern, and that's where we find the specific pathology. You could say the place inside the person that's wounded, you know, and once we go into that wounding and we start to heal that, that's when we start to see the real results.
And I'd like our listeners to know that you can always find Dr. Jaffe at drjaffemd.com. We're going to take just a short break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And as you know, we archive all of our shows right here on Progressive Radio Network and at naturalnurse.com. So we have clicks to reach back in time and listen to the show again, or if you go, wow, this is great, I'd like to share this information with someone you know who's struggling, or maybe who's not struggling, who wants to preempt having illness problems by looking deep within themselves in terms of spiritual patterns they may have picked up over the many years and traumatic experiences that we all have. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well-known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network. I'd like to remind you that you can join myself, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and Dr. Zamperone on many journeys where we interact with our listeners, and we're so happy to have met literally hundreds of you. One way is by coming to our on-ground walks. For instance, we have a Chinatown visit. We also have outside herbal identification. We have one coming up at for the American Herbalist Guild, where those meetings are all free. You can find all the events at naturalnurse.com. calendar. So if you go to naturalnurse.com, go across the top and find calendar. We also have classes that have CE credits. They are listed there as well. We have one coming up on heart health, in fact, natural remedies for heart health, as we were talking about with our guest today, Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe. And Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, MD, is our guest today. and he's a physician and Sufi master who's helped patients to achieve dramatic healing results for conditions that Western medicine has deemed irreversible or terminal. So, Dr. Jaffe, when is the best time for people to look into this kind of healing? Is it better to wait until you have been more or less at the end of your rope of conventional medicine, or perhaps way before that time?
Yeah, I think way before that is better. You know, the way it appears to work is that when people have trauma, that trauma lives, you know, subconsciously. It's been suppressed into somewhere in their system. Now, as time goes on, and that trauma repeats itself, because what generally happens is that what we are holding inside continues to manifest again and again. So, for example, if you had a situation where you didn't feel loved by your father, the wounding of that love would sit inside of you. Now, every time that you started dating or you started, you know, going into relationship, frequently what would happen is you would draw to yourself a person that would be similar to your father, and you would essentially re-wound that area. So you end up with kind of like an onion with layer after layer of wounding over the same spot. Now, as that wounding becomes deeper, that wounding begins to work itself further and further into the body. In other words, it literally moves itself down into the body. When the wounding actually hits the subtle field of the body, that's when disease manifests. So if we can catch the disease early, before it gets in, it is probably 100 times more easy to heal than to catch it once it's in. Once the disease is in the body and the body starts to change, it becomes more difficult to heal it. And of course, you know, if you had it a long time in your body and then you've actually damaged the organ system where, for example, let's say you had a stroke or something, you know, there are certain things that you can do with that, and slowly healing can happen, but it takes a long time, and sometimes you can't necessarily regenerate those tissues, has been my experience. So what we want to do is catch it early on, and we want to try to, you know, heal those places of wounding before it gets into the body, and certainly before it really damages the tissues.
Now, are you also still working in a hospital, or are you really focused on the spiritual aspect of healing at this point?
Really the spiritual aspects. Mostly what happens for me is that people call me, usually, unfortunately, after, you know, they have received some kind of bad news. They know that, you know, they may not have success with conventional medicine. And they're looking for some other way to go at it. And that's the majority of calls I get. And then, you know, the other side of it are, you know, spiritually minded people who realize that there are causative factors going on, whether it's emotional or psychological or spiritual. And they're looking to say, hey, what's going on inside of me? I don't know how to get there. I don't know why this is happening. Can you help me understand it? So what we do is we help them find that. And of course, what we haven't focused on in this call is the fact that this divine connection. In other words, when people bring in the divine aspect, which is the healing light, you know, every healing has two components. One side is the washing away of these traumas or these causative factors. But the other side is the actual, what we call beautification, what replaces it. In other words, if you get rid of the broken heart, that's really helpful. But have you really learned to love? That's the other side of the equation. That's the beautification, is to learn to love. So the divine connection is that other side of the equation. Have you learned to bring in real love, pure love? In other words, if you are in a relationship, you're a man, your relationship with your wife, you're not giving her the real love, of course, she's not going to be happy with you. By the same token, if you're a woman and you're in a relationship with your husband and you're not able to give him real love, he's going to be unhappy. So we have to learn how to give the love, for example, in a way that both partners really feel fulfilled and feel loved. Of course, it takes two. You know, both sides have to be willing to work on it. That's not always the case, and that can be a problem. But if both sides are willing to learn, if both sides are willing to commit to it, then what you see is that this love can be reestablished and the heart can be healed, and that becomes this divine connection, the bringing down of, well, what is real love? What is divine love? You know, how do we really integrate that into our hearts so that we can really care for other human beings and receive the love from other human beings? And of course, I'm focusing on love today just because, you know, heart disease is so prevalent, but it could be compassion or it could be mercy or it could be peace. You know, there's many other forms of healing. Love just tends to be one of the biggest ones.
Well, in terms of what you brought up before, the association and connection with the divine, which is certainly a very personal thing, if someone were to get involved in what you're teaching, do they have to actually become a Sufi, or can they maintain their Judaism, Christianity, or whatever spiritual focus they have?
That's a great question. I think that is how I teach it. I really believe that people, you know, their relationship to God is their relationship to God. So if you're Jewish and you know, have a particular way of worshiping God, or you're Christian or Muslim or whatever your system may be, that is a particular way for you. But learning to access the divine light or the divine attributes is global. In other words, all Christians need compassion. All Jewish people need compassion. All Muslim people need compassion. All Jewish people need love, etc. All Muslim people need love. So those are universal attributes. And if you connect to God and you learn to love in a very deep way, you know, it doesn't matter really what your religion is or your spiritual path, because love is love, and pure love is pure love. You know, the white rose is the white rose, and the red rose is the red rose. They're different. You know, in that pure learning of love, doesn't matter what your tradition is. So all of us need to learn, you know, these attributes, whatever our religion is. And that's how I teach Sufism today, is in a universal way.
Now, what about the patient or individual who claims that they're an atheist and they don't have any particular association to the divine?
Well, I think that in those situations, there's two things that we do. One is that, of course, learning to clean the subtle causes, you know, is very important. You know, Rumi used to say, if you want to learn to love, Rumi's a great poet, he would say, clean the rust of your heart. And the rust, of course, are the wounds. So even if you're an atheist and you find out what's rusting inside of you and you clean them, you are going to get some deep healing. But my personal experience, honestly, is that with very serious diseases, it's usually not enough. So that when we really work with, you know, life-threatening disease, then you do need that divine help and support. And when it's not there, the results just are not as great as when it is there. So, you know, I'm very much for learning to polish and clean the rust out of our beings. But like I said, the deeper your disease is, we need that support and we need that help. And when we don't have it, I'll give you an example. One lady, she had a stage 3 cancer of the breast. And she was, you know, working on cleaning the rust, and the results were okay. You know, she was seeming to change things somewhat. And then she realized that she wasn't really connecting to the divine. She wasn't listening to it. She didn't really know how to do it. So we taught her how to do that, have that direct connection. And she began listening and praying and being with the divine, and she was starting to hear guidance coming back from the divine to her, things like, you know, go to sleep, get a green drink, you know, do this, do that. And she said after, I don't know, about 3 weeks of that, that she was following it pretty much every minute. And she said that all of a sudden she was sitting there praying it one day, and as she was listening to that guidance, she saw inside of her, she said, it was like I had my eyes closed and the most brilliant white light appeared like a sun above me. She said, I never saw anything like that. And she said, I was looking at the sun, and the sun shot down into my breast where the tumor was. And she said, I felt the tumors explode. And I said, I knew they were gone. I knew that I had received a miracle. And I said, what happened? She said, well, then I went into my oncologist. The oncologist didn't believe in that, of course, said that the breasts had to come off because they were bilateral. And she asked for to get a mammogram. They refused. She went and she had the surgery. They took off both breasts. They went back looking for the tumor because they always do pathology to find out what kind of tumor it was. They could not find the tumor. They went to 40 different punch biopsies of those breasts. They never found the tumor. The tumor had completely disappeared. And, they realized that something had truly happened. And apparently today are really struggling with that situation. What happened there?
Right. There's no, let's say, scientific explanation. But in natural medicine, we seem to have things that are called impossible miracles happen all the time. I would say that's not uncommon. And it certainly can involve that spiritual recognition that leads to self-healing or along with all the things even that are done in conventional medicine. But I find that that's a very tragic story. I mean, what does that mean that they refused to retest her?
Yep. Yeah, this is the case. It's often, unfortunately, like that. I have heard that oncologist has pretty much kind of had a breakdown almost because that person realized the mistake that had been made and realized that it was a wrong choice and has been really struggling with the outcomes of that choice since that time. So I think, it's a learning process, and unfortunately, in medicine, we don't realize it, but we're trained as physicians not to, believe in anything other than the scientific model. And many of us are kind of programmed in that way. And unfortunately, when we hit up against it, those programmings take over. And we can't get out of that box. We don't mean to, but it is literally programmed through our training. And it's like if it's not scientific, it doesn't exist. So most physicians push it away.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, Dr. Jaffe. And we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And so you can hear about all of the other wonderful shows and perhaps step in and support Progressive Radio Network. Don't forget, you can also download for free from any what they call store. You can do an app. You can get a free app at any free app store, whatever that means. Not that I know what that means, but anyway, you do. And you just can get a PRN app, Progressive Radio Network. So we will be right back with more right here on Progressive Radio Network and The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today, we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information. The kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one Progressive Radio Network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries, but we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right, thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
Hey folks, my name is Jordan Valerie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm here to tell you about the Millennial Politics Podcast. We speak with the next generation of progressive candidates, activists, and organizations dedicated to restoring our democracy and protecting our civil rights and liberties. Make sure to stay tuned for Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, to hear the most recent episode of our podcast, and follow us on social media and iTunes to stay up to date with everything Millennial Politics.
This is PRN.FM, the number one station for progressive minds.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for listening. We love you to join us online. We love to hear from you at Facebook, The Natural Nurse, or naturalnurse.com. There's a contact button. You can join our mailing list just by going to naturalnurse.com. In the left-hand bottom corner, it says Join Mailing List. Just click on that. We only ask for your email, nothing else, no fee, no other information about you. And then you'll get updates about our up-and-coming classes, workshops. We have so many online classes. Let's say you want to learn how to be a professional herbalist. Well, we have a course that takes you all the way through, beginning to end, to becoming an RH, a registered herbalist. That doesn't happen in a day, but you can start learning from day one how to integrate natural healing modalities for yourself and your family. So get in touch at naturalnurse.com. And of course, the spiritual is always involved in a natural lifestyle and whatever that spirituality means to you. And today we are sharing wonderful information from Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, medical doctor. He is both a physician and a Sufi master. And so he studied Western medicine and is also deeply involved in spiritual healing. And he runs the University of Medical Spiritual Healing, which really brings it all together into a unified holistic approach of healing the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual elements. And you can find him at drjaffemd.com. And also there will be a link to this show and an archive will be posted if you'd like to revisit it or share with someone else. So thank you so much for being back on board with us today, Dr. Jaffe.
Sure. My pleasure. Where would you like to go from here?
Well, you have certainly focused, you gave us some information on the link to heart disease and cancer. What about things like emotional issues, even deep problems like schizophrenia?
These are things, of course, that I believe are healable. And I'll give an example of schizophrenia, which, of course, many people today would say is not healable. Once you become psychotic, you control it. You take antipsychotic drugs, or you take, drugs that affect the, the mind. And hopefully the best you can hope for is, essentially to live an adjusted lifestyle. But what I have found is something very different, and I'll give an example of this. We had a lady who came to our clinic who was psychotic, had been diagnosed schizophrenic as well, and was essentially, her mind wasn't right, let's just say that. Now, when we began to explore, this spiritual aspects of things, the teaching for her was really around compassion. And she was a Buddhist. So she, you know, compassion was very much in her area of understanding. But at the time, and this is 20 years ago, she was very anti-drug. And so she believed that if a person was a drug dealer, that they should have the death penalty and that it should be given to any drug dealer who was selling drugs. So she was, you know, a very powerful woman, and she was essentially pushing for the death penalty for drug dealers in the country. And it was having results with that. And anyways, what happened, which was so fascinating, was that her son got caught as a drug dealer selling drugs, was imprisoned, and unfortunately, according to her, you know, idea, then her son needed to be, you know, put to death. And the conflict inside of her was so powerful, because one side of her mind said, you know, all drug dealers need to die. The other side said, you know, my son's a good boy. You know, he's maybe misled. He went astray, but he's my son. He needs to be given a second chance. I don't want to put him to death. The conflict inside of her was so powerful that she ripped her mind apart. And in ripping her mind apart, she became psychotic. Now, when I reached her, we looked at that pattern, and we found that, yes, that she had ripped the mental light, and it was from this conflict, and that the spiritual teaching was about compassion, and that she needed to learn compassion for people that went astray, compassion for people who might respond to a second chance. So when we were able to help her understand that, and she was able to bring these two sides of her mind together through compassion, then what happened is the mental body came back together. Once it came back together, the psychosis disappeared and she was healed. So this is why I'm saying that the application of spiritual healing, of understanding the causative factors, to be able to identify really what's happened inside of somebody that has caused some type of wounding to go on in them that has, I believe, caused the disease to manifest, and being able to correct that using both wisdom and understanding, but also using that divine inspiration and light that we spoke about, I believe we have very powerful results in healing. And it's something that all people need to do if they are truly to get well, whether it's, you know, serious disease or even really simple things like colds or, you know, urinary tract infections or, you know, just kind of the run-of-the-mill type of things that we see all the time.
Yes, so that's an interesting story. Now, when she sort of moved towards healing, was she then actually no longer schizophrenic?
She was no longer, when she got through with that, she was really healed. And this is something that we've seen, you know, again and again. Now, again, this is, I don't want to say it's 100% because, that's not true. You know, it's, you know, maybe it's 90%, maybe 85%. But you know, there are cases that don't heal for various reasons. But generally, everybody gets better. And across the board, I think we see improvement. And of course, some people, many people, also have complete healing. So the results are always, you know, ultimately I say it's in God's hands, but our results are very, very spectacular across the board, because you think about it, if really inside of you there is something going on and that's leading to disease and you correct it, and if your body, you know, you haven't destroyed your body will respond and the immune system will kick in. Your body's self-healing mechanisms will start to work again and your body will heal that place. If you don't resolve those things in yourself, you are affecting your body's ability to heal, and you're affecting the biology and the biochemistry of your body. And that is not going to change. You know, like I said, we had a woman that, you know, she did, you know, her bilateral mastectomy, and of course it was a woman's issue. It showed up in her uterus 3 years later. She had uterine cancer. You know, it's very important to get to these root issues in ourselves and really resolve them. And that, I think, is across the board what medicine needs to go to today. It has to include the traditional medicine, or I guess you're calling conventional medicine. It has to include, you know, things like herbs and things like that. But it also needs the spiritual side. We have to get to those roots and really understand them and change them and bring healing to them if we're really going to holistically heal ourselves.
And I actually am a big advocate of using things like you're talking about, Dr. Jaffe, in terms of self-healing through education, you know, with guidance from someone like yourself in medical spiritual healing. And I think it's a better thing to do before you're facing a life-threatening issue. And in fact, even in terms of the spectrum of mental health, if we're talking about mild situational depression versus schizophrenia, there's a big difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, if you address things early and more, you know, address depression when it's early on, it's much, much more healable than when you don't. For example, I have a young man, he just got his bachelor's degree from a university out here in California. He's very depressed. You know, when we went to the roots of the depression, you know, he's 26 years old. 25 years old, he wants a wife. He doesn't have one. He wants to be married. When we were able to help him to understand that, you know, he needed to take the time, we started addressing how to find a wife and how to really, you know, find someone that would stay with him his life, and they would have a committed, you know, really good relationship. The depression literally disappeared overnight. So it's just getting to these root issues and finding out what's really driving them and changing them, and that's when we see, you know, as you said, I think that's the best time to heal before we have anything really serious happen.
Yes, that's so true. So I would suggest people really do investigate this method that you share and that you've studied so deeply. And what's wonderful is, as a spiritual teacher and a Sufi master, you still have that background and basis in conventional medical knowledge, where you actually have been a physician and you have worked in the hospital and you're fully familiar, let's say, with possible herb-drug interactions and things like that. Of course, when we're doing spiritual healing, we really don't have to worry about those interactions if you're already on something like polypharmacy.
That's right. And this is why, you know, again, I'm a very strong proponent of spiritual healing, however you do it. But there are problems in there, and I'll share them briefly, which is that, you know, we had a lady who started getting very serious pain. She was at a spiritual workshop, and she got abdominal pain, and she went to the, the leader of the workshop, the spiritual teacher, and she said, you know, you just have resistance to the light coming in. You know, you're not dealing with it, and you just need to heal that light. You know, she was right at that level. That's true. However, she was getting a lot of pain. Now, they called me, and I said, where was it? I said, she said, right, lower abdomen, et cetera. And I said, you know, that feels like it's something very serious. I want you to go to the hospital. So she went to the hospital. It turned out that she had a ectopic pregnancy, which actually ruptured in the workshop before she called me. When she called me, she was bleeding heavily. By the time she got to the ER, she had a couple liters of blood in her abdomen, and she was in a very serious situation. So,
wow. So you know what? Unfortunately, we do have to end there, but that was an excellent example of why having the kind of knowledge you do is really so important moving forward. And I just want to tell our listeners, you can contact Dr. Jaffe. He was our guest. Thank you so much, Dr. Jaffe, at drjaffemd.com. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, for Natural Alternatives. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com, and we're hoping that you stay healthy.